ice cream. Can't tell them apart at all.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Elle Miller. She's the curator of Banksyland and the founder of 1000 Ways, which put the show on. Banksyland is on now at the Factor Building at 226 Southeast Madison through May the 8th. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus in person, Elle.
Thanks for having me, Joseph. Excited to be here.
Banksyland opened last week, and it's only here for a couple of weeks, and then it moves on to other cities around the U.S. So Portland is kind of first, and that's partly because you live here, you know the city. So you've taken works by the street artist Banksy. He's known for his stencil graffiti, and then having become internationally famous, he produces works on paper, installations. He has a very complicated relationship with the art world. He hates the art world, never wanted to sell things. Once his stuff got resold, he joined in and he produces, editions and legitimate pieces. So we walk into this Factor, is like a converted warehouse, mm-hmm. and we walk in, it's like rough, you know, wooden floors, pillars. You've put up these black gallery walls everywhere, and the first thing we see is a logo on six monitors, and it just says Banksyland.
Yeah, that's right. We picked a rough space because Banksy came up doing illegal graffiti on the streets, you know, tagging things, trying not to get arrested. And as you said, he's got a challenging relationship with the art world. I think he has resisted the idea of being famous and making money, and it seems as if he's trying to come to terms with it the best he can. He makes a lot of commentary on it, and I think as he's gotten more comfortable with his position and the idea of making money, he started using it for good in ways that I really respect. One of the things I wanted to do by putting on the show and founding a not-for-profit was give people access to his work and not profit off of him, but pay it forward. So the proceeds from the show are going forward to create grants to fund arts education and grants for emerging artists locally as well.
In Portland or in other cities?
This is a bit ambitious, but I hope that each city's proceeds will fund arts education and artists.
As you come in, you turn, there are these black canvases. They're black canvases with white stenciled, all caps, slogans. So you've got things like, nobody ever listened to me until they didn't know who I was, which is great because he's really cashed in on his anonymity. Everyone kind of now knows he's a guy from a posh school in Bristol called Robin Gunningham. The general public is intrigued, and he's got some good sayings. People either love me or they hate me or they don't really care.
And the reason we started with the quotes in here is I wanted people to get a sense when they come in for the sort of the cleverness of the way he talks about himself, the way he sort of like stands behind his anonymity. And I think it's great that he doesn't really want people to know who he is. I think it's great that he doesn't really do it for fame, and he lets the art stand for itself. And, you know, these canvases were not created by him. These were things that we sort of graphically designed just to allow people when they come into the space to get a sense for how he portrays himself.
When we come into one of the bigger spaces, this one seems to be devoted to the art, which is Love is in the Air. It has different titles, but it's a guy with a mask on, like a rioter guy, backwards baseball cap, and he's probably was originally throwing a brick or a Molotov cocktail. Banksy converted it into a bunch of flowers, and he put this stencil up all over the place. And you have a edition print from a private collection. It's red with red and black. It's very striking. But then in the middle of the room you have this gold statue, kind of slightly bigger than life size, and the guys throwing a sort of a 7-foot bouquet of plastic flowers. Tell us about this room. Like, why did you want to put all this stuff together?
Love is in the Air, this rioter who's throwing flowers, is one of his most iconic images. And I think one of the things he does well that people respond to are these juxtapositions of images of these, like, violent moments in humanity. He combines them with beauty and innocence and hopefulness. I think a criticism of it can be that it's simplistic. Sort of the beauty of it is that it's simplistic. It's a very like gut punch of an image, and people respond to it because it's so like quick. This one is seen all over the place, and I think people really enjoy it. I really enjoy it, and it's something everyone's sort of seen reproduced, and I wanted people to see it at scale and to feel the impact of what it looks like when you see it on a wall or in person.
So you have three framed pieces. Are they photos of graffiti on concrete?
This is a series that he did where he took his Love is in the Air piece and broke it into multiple frames. You know, when people come to our space and they want to understand the work of Banksy, like, we don't have the wall in front of us where he's done that larger than life, Love is in the Air, right? So we can show people images of that. And we've created this three-dimensional piece, not to like suggest that that's his, but to create a sort of like a sort of large visual of it, to give people the feel of that piece, the visual of it, and like what he's intending with it. So we have small works of it that he's created. We have visuals of what it looked like, and then we have this piece where we're interpreting it just to like bring the intent of it to life for people, you know, so they get the power of it. Because I think what's beautiful about art is when you see it in real life, and when you're standing in a space with something that's to scale. When you see a painting in a book, it can be lovely, but when you stand in front of something large, you get a different and more like powerful emotional response from it. So when we're doing things like an interpretation, that's why we're doing it. And we're doing it in the context of Banksy's actual works, so people can sort of see the reference to it.
The sculpture in the middle of the room, mm-hmm. Tell us how that came to be.
This is a piece that we chose to do in order to create a three-dimensional expression of Banksy's Love is in the Air character. And we basically did a three-dimensional build of this by having someone pose and then having a three-dimensional artist craft it, and worked with a local floral artist with silk flowers to bring it to life.
Are you allowed to do that, like take a 2D image and like make a sculpture based on it?
It's an interpretation of a piece of art, right? It's not a direct one-to-one.
It doesn't see it happening very often, but
yeah.
The other pieces in this room are rats. These are stenciled rats, some on white canvas, mm-hmm. Some on white paper. So you've got a rat wearing 3D glasses, a rat kind of falling through the air,
mm-hmm.
And then you have the little girl with the heart-shaped red balloon,
mm-hmm.
And you have a rat with a red heart above him. Why are these all in the same place?
These are all some of his more iconic images. The rats are relatively early on piece that you'd see him work with a lot. They seem to prop up pretty often in his work. This piece, there's one rat that is, I believe it's screened on a kind of like rough simple. It's the sort of paper that artists use when they're like testing out ideas, and it's like very graphicized. That one I really love. I think it's incredibly beautiful. So I wanted to group some of the rats together so you get a sense for the way he kind of plays with one icon over and over. Same with the girl with the balloon. That one's a big icon of his. That's another image that people recognize. It's a really beautiful sort of like symbol of hope that people really gravitate towards.
He copied a guy called Bleck the Rat, a guy in Paris,
mm-hmm.
An earlier stencil artist, mm-hmm. Like 20 years before.
Mm-hmm.
He took the stencil idea. So he was inspired by mm-hmm. seeing a stencil, you know,
yep.
On underside of a truck when he was hiding from the cops. And he switched from graffiti bombing to stenciling because it was quicker.
Yeah, I heard him say it was faster and he was less likely to get arrested, mm-hmm. Right? When he was.
But his visual inspiration comes from this guy in Paris who mm-hmm. did a lot of rap, mm-hmm. political stuff,
mm-hmm.
Madonna and Charles, soldiers, put them in interesting places around
yep.
Paris where
yep.
they like sort of blend in or pop out. He's kept that up pretty much his whole career, but he also has this other career where he's gone into video and different media. What do you think he can do in video that he can't do like on the streets?
Well, I think on the streets, he's, you know, he's obligated to move quickly, right? To not be arrested at this point. He's obligated to mind that people don't ID him because he's attempting to remain anonymous. So
he's not going to get arrested anymore. He's just going to get interviewed to death.
Interviewed to death or mobbed or ID'd. So I suppose video gives him a way to do, you know, deeper, longer pieces without risking exposure.
In front of a another one of these photo reproductions of riot cops with smiley faces, they're on posters, you know, that have been torn off. You have this totally different piece. It's a aluminum suitcase full of £10 notes in the wrappers, and he's put Princess Diana on instead of whoever used to be on the £10. I have no idea anymore. Where did you get this? It looks kind of vintage. It's kind of yellowing and old.
Banksy created these notes, these Banksy notes. I think that originally his street name Banksy was a play on like Robin Banks, if he is in fact Robin Gunningham.
Yeah.
And you know, he created this money with Princess Diana on it as opposed to the Queen. It feels to me like, you know, Princess Diana was a sort of beloved icon of the people, you know, a little bit sort of outside of the royal family, kind of outside of the powers that be. He was, I believe, shut down by the government because they look so much like real pound notes. Mm-hmm. He was told he wasn't allowed to create them anymore, and we were able to get our hands on some of them. I think they're really beautiful.
Is this piece owned by a gallery or an individual?
The notes we were actually able to purchase. We were able to get our hands on them. And the case is just for display purposes.
Oh, you just put them in the case?
Yeah, we just put them in the case just to have a like nice way to show them.
So you have a couple more slogans. Live as a villain, die as a hero. This revolution is for display purposes only. And then here we have these two riot cops, you know, with the knee pads and the elbow pads, all in black, chest pads, and they're hanging, and they have smiley faces and little feathery angel wings on their backs. Do these have a name?
These are just expressions of, you know, he had these icons, right? He has these riot cops. And in the 2000s, Banksy sort of expanded from the animals that he was doing early on in his career and into these sort of political messages, which is when I think his work got really interesting. He started getting into protests against the Gulf War, which was going on at the time. And one of the images that started cropping up a lot in his work with these riot cops, juxtaposed with these like classic yellow smiley faces and angel wings. And when you see these, like, you see these things come together, you get this like really quick, really intense feel. And so we have one of his like screened images here, but then we just brought these cops to life in the space because I feel like there's this, like when you see them larger than life, you get the feel of it, you know?
So he was doing these images of, it's called Flying Copper. It's a British policeman with a machine gun. And he puts a smiley face on him and angel wings. But next to it, you have a piece on cardboard, right?
One of my favorites.
Square on cardboard. There's wrong war. There's a battle attack helicopter with a little yellow ribbon, like you put on
bow.
A little girl's head. And then there's a sticker on that. It says Stop the War. It's from 2003.
Yeah.
So where did this cardboard piece come from?
So this is a demonstration sign that he created for an actual demonstration that had been happening in London in 2003 against the Gulf War. He made many of these. There were a few that survived, and we were able to get our hands on one of them. And, you know, it seems like this is during the time in his career where he started becoming more of an activist. His imagery started becoming more activist oriented, and he started getting involved in things like the protest. And like I said, I feel like this is a time in his career where his work started to go in a really profound direction, you know, where he started using his influence for good in the world as well as expressing art.
Please donate to KBOO right now during our spring membership drive. Your contribution will be matched dollar for dollar up to $12,000 thanks to the generous support of a group of anonymous donors. You can become a member by going to kboo.fm/give, by clicking the donate button in the KBOO mobile app, by texting KBOO to 44321, or by mail to KBOO 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, 97214.
My name is Joseph Gallivan, and you're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Elle Miller. She's the curator of Banksy Land, which is on now at the Factor Building, 226 Southeast Madison, through May the 8th. You tell us what we're seeing. A huge video screen with a sort of classical frame, a photo on one wall of a boat painted partially pink, like it's been photo, you know, paint bombed, just says rescue. And then on the right, there's a welcome mat.
This piece, or this area, is dedicated to a piece that Banksy did. He said, like most famous artists with a lot of money, he decided to buy a yacht. He bought this yacht. It's a French Navy vessel, and he converted it into a rescue vessel. It's a lifeboat, and it goes around the waters, and it's rescuing immigrants who are trapped at sea, who are trying desperately to get to safety because EU authorities have been known to ignore distress calls from non-Europeans. And this is the piece that actually prompted me to want to put this show on. I was relatively familiar with Banksy's work. I always had kind of admired him. I grew up appreciating street art. I liked what he did. But when I realized like how profoundly he had like gotten involved in social cause and how much of his own like money and time he was putting against social issues, I gained a whole new level of respect for him. This piece was really powerful for me. I think I cried the first time I watched it. Over here on the right, this welcome mat you were referencing, this one is actually really sad. He did this edition of these welcome mats, and the welcome is woven into the mat. It's orange, and there are these black buckles on the outside of it, and those pieces are made from life vests of these immigrants that have been stranded at sea that have washed up on the shores of mm-hmm. Europe. And then the photo you see on the left is an image of the boat, and the boat, as you said, it's painted pink, and his girl, the red balloon, that very iconic image, is painted on the side of it. But instead of holding up a balloon, she's holding up one of the red rafts you'd throw out to somebody who is like mm-hmm. in the water.
So he puts his money where his mouth is.
He puts his money where his mouth is, which is such an amazing thing for somebody to do when they've gotten to that place in their career. But mm-hmm. he's gotten famous and he's gotten very active in the world, and I respect it.
You have another section devoted to Waldorf Hotel, which is a real hotel. In, it says, visit historic Palestine. There's kids on a fairground ride going around an observation tower. The Israeli army liked it so much they never left. And the hotel is decorated with kind of riot trophies, you know, catapults, security cameras, sledgehammers, and then, of course, cute little British china, you know, with royal people on it. It's a real hotel. You can check in. It's like 10 feet away from a massive security wall.
That's right. It's a fully functioning hotel located right near the wall. You can stay there. You can also tour it. I have not personally seen it, but I was able to talk to some guests yesterday who say that it's actually just incredibly powerful in person.
But this is it's a weird one because it's kind of a paint. It's a print in a thick frame. And it's all kind of wavy. Like, what is that?
This is an actual photograph, but the quality of the, like, color of the hotel makes it look as if it's, like, painted, but it's actually just a detail of the space in the lobby.
Some of these things you just print your own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, these are licensed photos that we got of the hotel, because this is it's an installation that he's done that we wanted to be able to share with people.
Oh, so he's had a photographer shoot it. Oh, here's another cardboard piece.
Yep, this is another cardboard piece, one of his like war protest pieces.
A girl hugging a bomb, which is about half the size of her body. It just says mm-hmm. no in mm-hmm. red on her head. Mm-hmm. So he was doing, do you know why he would do things on cardboard and like just leave them lying around?
Honestly, I don't know. I think I was reading one day on his website, I was looking at some of his information on how he, you know, how he authenticates works, and there's something like clever written on there, and he says, we authenticate works, sometimes it can take some time, as, you know, Banksy's often in, quote, advanced states of inebriation when he's creating things. So it seems to me, kind of in the way he wrote it and in the works I see from him, he's one of those people that just is compelled to make. And I think, like, as he's grown famous, he's doing more serious, like, stenciled paperworks in order to do works for trade, you know, that he makes money off of. But I think when he's doing things on cardboard, when he's doing things on walls, like, I think he grew up as a kid that was just compelled to make things. You know, he was out there, like, stencil bombing. He's doing things on cardboard. He's just, like, putting art into the world in the way that, like, true artists do, because he wants to make things.
This piece is a photo of a Banksy modification. So we have a white wall in a parking lot, and the giant word parking has been, the ing has been painted as. And on the bar on the capital A is a swing with a little girl. And then you've got these three workers sort of taped off, and they're painting the wall white. What do you know about this piece?
This is a piece that is in LA. This is one of the pieces that I've seen in the world that I really like. And I chose this photo of this piece because I love having the workers in there for scale and context, and that sort of like the juxtaposition of that like 19th century style drawing of her in this like incredibly modern era with these workers. He also, as you know, he has a tendency, he leans toward these like sort of classical children, and he does a lot of like blue collar workers in his representations. So I really like this photo of them in there too. You also get that sense of scale. I love the whimsy of it. You know, I have a lot of his like protest works in here, and not a lot of this, where he brings that sort of playfulness, which is like another side of it. You see it more in this space, you see it more in his quotes, but he is prone to like some of these more like lighthearted, playful images, and this one has always kind of spoke to me in that way.
So Banksy, when he was like breaking through, he'd go to New York and get inspired. I remember he went to LA, people took him out, showed him the best spots, you know, he'd bomb them and stuff.
Yeah.
But this is more like, is this still around today, do you think?
I believe this piece is here. I believe this piece is still up in LA. It was last time I was there. And it's really nice to like, you know, there's not a lot of pieces. I think it's hard for him to like make art in the wild and have it stay there, you know? He puts things up and people come bring crews and take them down straight away. And I imagine it bothers him. I think one of the reasons he makes street art is so that people have access to it. And as he's become famous, things get taken down and sold away to people who are wealthy, and his messages get tucked behind closed doors so quickly that, you know, they don't get shared with the world in the way I think he intended.
How many pieces are there in the shop?
Almost 100, I think.
We're in this corner where you've got this image of Dismal Land. So he did this with other artists, this kind of dystopian theme park thing in England. And it's brilliant. I don't know, did he do Ariel, the mermaid all glitchy, her neck is all wavy?
Yeah, this was a full-scale, fully functioning dystopian theme park that he did in England in collaboration with multiple other artists.
And so the water's all dirty, and the castle is all rotten and falling apart. There's like police vans. So you have big photos of this that happened. And then you have on the wall, a big photo of the girl letting go of the balloon. And then there's this other thing. It's this white sculpture. Just called Flying Balloon Girl. Where does this come from?
Yeah, this is a company that does these. They're a company called Brandalism, and they do these interpretations of his pieces. They're cast resin, and they're like pretty heavy collector's items. We've got a few of theirs here. I believe the company is out of Japan.
So here's David, you know, the famous David, naked, but he's wearing, looks like a suicide vest, suicide bomber's vest.
Yep.
And he has his face covered.
Yeah, this guy's called Suicide Man from 2018.
Yeah, but he still has the rock in his hand that that David was going to use on Goliath. But this is 18 inches tall. People can they order these? You know, is this Brandalism a business?
You know, I don't believe you can order them directly from the company. I believe collectors can get their hands on them, but it's not terribly easy.
One of the other iconic pieces is this girl. Again, she's in a kind of, you know, Victorian dress with a white collar. She's holding up a black umbrella, and sticking a hand out to feel the rain, but the rain is actually all inside the umbrella coming down on her. Where did you get this piece?
These pieces started showing up in the U.S. during Hurricane Katrina, and they were Banksy's response to the not fantastic efforts of FEMA to support the people of New Orleans during that time. So we have one image of it here on one of the flood signs from that era, and then another piece on paper here. And this is one of my favorite pieces. I really love the stuff he does, these really like strong political images. I think the way he uses children to kind of like bring the like innocence of children together with the sort of failings of our human governments is always a pretty powerful combination.
Mm-hmm. So you have it on a triangular sign, like a yield sign.
Yeah.
So that's maybe pulled from the street, and maybe it was original.
Yeah, attributed
from attributed. New Orleans. But this is a signed print with a, you know, watermark mm-hmm. and everything. Mm-hmm. And it says Goldberg Galleries, Toronto. Mm-hmm. So he's making prints.
Yeah, he does some stuff on paper, as he calls them, his like works for trade. And then he still does some street works as well.
And then there's this other one. It's a photo of a stencil of mm-hmm. a little black girl on a box. And she's spraying over a swastika with pink. Like the flock pattern of wallpaper.
Yeah.
So she's very carefully covering up this Nazi symbol. And there's the old Banksy teddy bear in the bottom.
Yep. Covering up the Nazi symbol, which unfortunately you can still see through it. There's like hopefulness, but like history is still rearing its ugly head through it.
One more image we should look at is this picture of a bloke with his hands crossed. He's got a paper bag on his head and a sort of funny cartoon mouth has been added and eyes, and there's a target behind. It's all printed on, is that paper? It's really rumpled kind of paper. What is this called? What is this piece?
This is not a piece per se. This is the only known photo of Banksy. This was taken by Time magazine. He was named as one of their most influential men of the year. And yes, this is printed on paper and then hung here on the wall. So, because one of the major questions people have is, who is Banksy? And as you know, the answer is we don't quite know. At one point, a team of forensic scientists got together and tried to triangulate who he was. And what they said is he was probably a middle-aged man from Bristol, England. And when he was named one of the most influential men of the year, he said he was willing to pose for the shoot. And in very cheeky Banksy fashion, he said only if he could show his true face. So he's got this paper bag over his head and this sort of grimacy smile on it. So this is the piece we put up so that we can sort of chat to people about who he is and what we know and we don't know about him.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You've been listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week was Elle Miller. She's the curator of Banksyland and the founder of 1000 Ways, the nonprofit that's putting it on. And Banksyland is on now at the Factor Building, 226 Southeast Madison Street in Portland, through May the 8th. Thanks very much for doing Art Focus in person, Elle.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Andy Wawo looks a scream. Add him on my whoa, whoa, whoa. Andy Wawo, silver screen. Can't tell them apart at all. We'll be right back.
escuchando KBOO Portland.
Bienvenidos a un breve informativo en su estación comunitaria KBOO 90.7 FM. Hoy martes 26 de abril del 2022. En medio de la pandemia, el secretario general de las